bringing hope to many around the globe, transforming lives into legacies. Living Word with Pastor Mensah Otobill. And now, today's word.
My message today is titled Growing Over Walls. Growing Over Walls. When you listen to our declaration, which we have been making throughout this year, there is a part of the declaration that says, "The Lord, my God, has planted me like a tree by the waters. My roots are deep, my branches are wide, my fruits are marvelous." This is a description of who you are. It is a description of a person that is blessed by God. And it is how Joseph, the son of Jacob, the great-grandson of Abraham, was described in Genesis chapter 49, verses 22 to 25. As Jacob comes to the end of his life, he makes declarations over the lives of his children, for some of them describing what their lives have been and also speaking into their future. And when it comes to his son, Jacob, he makes a very profound statement, which is going to be our main text for today in Genesis 49, 22 to 25. And I'm going to preach entirely from this passage. And this is what was said about Joseph. And I believe it is also something that will be said about you. And it says, "Joseph is a fruitful bough. A fruitful bough by the well. His branches run over the wall. The archers have bitterly grieved him, shot at him, and hated him. But his bow remained in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel." Joseph was blessed beyond the wall. And the Bible says that his branches ran over the wall. He was blessed in his father's house. He was blessed in Potiphar's house. He was blessed in the prison house. He was blessed in Pharaoh's house. Wherever he went, whatever circumstance came his way, the blessing upon him stretched over it. And so no matter the walls that were built around him, his blessing ran over the wall. When people tried to contain him in one place, he stretched into another place. And today I've come to declare that someone has been blessed by God, and your blessing will go over the wall. I don't know what wall has been built around you. I don't know what has been designed to contain you, but I came to announce to you that your branches will grow over the wall. You will not be limited, and you will not be hindered. Joseph, in this passage, is described as a fruitful vine. A fruitful vine. And that means that he was a person that flourished. And in the passage, he is described as a fruitful vine by the well. A fruitful vine by the well. That means that he was nourished. He was planted beside a well. His roots are linked to water. And that's a very important factor in his life. Even as a young man, he had a deep relationship with God. He knew God. for himself, not just the God of his father Jacob or his great-grandfather Abraham, but the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was also his God. And no wonder when he was separated at a very young age from his family, he was aware of God's presence wherever he went. As a teenager, he was separated, but he never lost God because he was planted by the well. He received nourishment from the presence of God. He received strength from the presence of God. A fruitful vine also means that he was productive. He blossomed and he bore fruit. Because he had his roots in the Lord, he was fruitful. His mind was productive. Even when he was sold into slavery, he continued to be productive. In prison, he was productive. He was the kind of person you couldn't keep down. A fruitful vine. By the well, fruitful and nourished, productive. And the third thing about the fruitful vine is that he increased abundantly. And the Bible says that his branches ran over the wall. He was a success story in different sectors. He was successful locally and internationally. That was how Joseph was seen. Now, if you saw Joseph at the latter end of his life, at the time when he had come out of prison, at the time when he was now prime minister of Egypt, at the time when he was overseeing the greatest distribution of wealth in Egypt, and somebody called him a fruitful vine, you would believe he was fruitful, because after all, the man was productive. He was successful. Success was all around him. But if you had seen him a few years late, earlier in the prison, and somebody had said, that's a fruitful vine, you wouldn't have believed it. If you had seen him when he was in Potiphar's house as a servant, you wouldn't have believed he was a fruitful vine. If you had seen him the day they arrested him and put him in jail, you wouldn't have said he was a fruitful vine. But Joseph was a fruitful vine. But he didn't just become fruitful because life was easy for him. I suppose by now, you know that life is not easy. Life is life. And sometimes it will bring you circumstances you didn't anticipate, but you have to deal with it. Joseph was a very young man in his father's house. He was a great dreamer. God showed him dreams about his future. His problem was he talked about it. And that's some good advice. Don't talk too much about your dreams. But he talked about it, and he was very excited about his future, about how his life was going to turn out. He was very excited about what God was going to do in his life. And when you are a young man with great vision, what do? You just brag about it. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to be that. I did it myself when I was young. I don't tell much of my plans now. But when I was younger, I was like Joseph. I bragged a lot about what I was going to be. And it's a mark of youthfulness to do that. But that also attracted problems. Because when you announce your location, people will find you. And they would try to stop you. So Joseph had challenges. He had difficulties he had to deal with. And you have to know that in life, victories are won through battles. Solutions are produced from problems. And Joseph had his fair share of challenges. And they came in two main ways, according to the passage that we read in verse 23. Says the archers have bitterly grieved him, shot at him, and hated him. The first challenge that Joseph had to deal with is the challenge of arrows being thrown at him. Arrows are the enemy's weapons. An arrow is harmless until an archer gets hold of it. An archer is the person who shoots the arrow. And the Bible says that the archers shot at him sorely. So he had arrows to deal with in life. Things that were released against him. And the Bible talks about three main arrows that were thrown against Joseph. The first was that he was hated. The arrow of hatred. He was intensely disliked. And that's the first thing that the enemy did to Joseph. He was hated. People disliked him. And the arrow of hatred travels very fast and swiftly. When Joseph started his life, he didn't know he had enemies. He didn't know. He thought everybody liked him. As a matter of fact, when he told his brothers his dream, he couldn't even discern that they didn't like the first dream. Then he had a second dream, and he went with excitement and said, "Look what happened. I got another one." And the Bible said they hated him the more. It is innocent in life to think that everybody likes you. Sometimes you hear people say, "I don't know why people hate me. What have I done?" Well, you don't need to do anything. You just be yourself, and people will hate you. You know, there are people who would watch you walk, and they don't know your name, don't know your father, don't know your mother, but just you're walking. And they say in their heart, "That guy is very arrogant and we have to stop him. He doesn't know where you are going." Somebody looks at the way you dress. For Joseph, he was wearing a coat of many colors. And maybe you don't have money, but you just try to look good. You just try to wear some nice trouser. It may be a wash and wear trouser, but nobody knows it's wash and wear. It's just that it is neat at every time, and your shoe is polished at every time, and you try to wear a nice tie, and you try to wear a nice shirt. It may be the nice shirt you wash and wear every time, but somebody looks at you and say, "Who does he think he is? Who does she think she is?" Because your hair is looking nice. And for that alone, they decide to throw arrows against you. So that's the first thing that Joseph had, just inexplicable hatred. There are people who hate you without a cause. There are people who hate me without a cause. And if I ask them, "Why do you hate me?" they will have no one reason. There are people who hate you. Ask them, "Why do you hate me?" they have no one reason, but they don't like you. They will say something about, "I just don't like you. Let me be plain. I don't like you." Some have a reason. They will say, "Well, it's because you did this, you did that, you did that." But it is hatred, and it's an arrow. But hatred is okay. I mean, if you hate me and you can't do anything to me, why should I be bothered? So Joseph was hated, but the second arrow, the Bible says they shot at him. That means that he was targeted. So the hatred moved into targeting. When somebody decides he's going to use you for target practice, that means that they set you apart. They isolate you and they prepare special attacks against you. He's targeted for attack. And there is a plan on his life. When you're moving in life, it's almost as if you have a target mark at your back. And somebody is supposed to meet that target by shooting at you. So Joseph is going through his life innocently, but there are people who hate him and there are people who are shooting at him. Sometimes the target comes from people you call friends, like Joseph's brothers. Sometimes it's from your own home. Sometimes it comes from people you have offended in high places, like Potiphar's wife. The woman says, "I love you, Joseph." Joseph says, "Thank you, but no thank you." He hasn't beaten her. But from that time, she begins to scheme, "How do I destroy this man?" And targets him for destruction. That's the second arrow. Hatred, targeting. And the third one, the Bible says he was grieved. That means he was painfully wounded. People don't hate you and attack you for fun. They do it to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Joseph's brothers wanted to finish him off, and Potiphar wanted to destroy him. They wanted him off the face of the earth for wearing a nice suit, for having a dream, and for refusing a proposal. There is a target, and there is a mark on him to destroy him. And the Bible says they grieved him. They wounded him painfully. The thing about wounding is that when you are wounded, you tend to withdraw. You tend to be quiet. Because in life, by the time you are about 30 years old in life, you would have collected several arrows. You know, so you are walking nicely in life, but there are arrows sticking inside of you. By the time, let's say by 30, you've collected about 10 nice arrows. By the time you are 50, you've collected about 30 arrows. By the time you're about 65 on retirement, you have about 100 arrows sticking all over you. Your friends, your enemies, people in high places, people in low places, people you trusted, everybody has tried to shoot you. And after all these shots, you get hurt. And when you get hurt, you become inward looking, not outside looking. And so Joseph receives these attacks from his home, from his boss, from the workplace, from political people like Potiphar's wife, from domestic people. He's under attack. That's the first major thing he has to deal with, the piercings of men. I know many people who have abandoned their vision in life because of the attacks that have come against them. Life has shot too many things, and there's too much pain inside you. Some people have decided, okay, I won't do anything again. I'll just hide in my little corner. That is the purpose of the attack, is to put you on the defensive, is to make you withdraw to your corner, is to make you be silent, is to make you not dream again, is to make you not walk around with your coat of many colors again. The design of the archer is to make sure you are on the defensive. But you are coming out. This morning, you are going to come out of every pain, of every hurt, of every bitterness, of every disappointment, of every arrow that has been shot at you, no matter where the arrow came from, whether from your home, your enemy, your friend. You are going to come out of this situation because you are a dreamer, you have coat of many colors, you have a vision, and you're going to fulfill your destiny. This is not time to quit. But that was not all the challenge Joseph had to deal with. Arrows, but he had to deal with walls that were erected around him. Barriers, containers. The scripture says, Joseph is a fruitful bough by a well. His branches run over the wall. His branches run over the wall. You will also run over the wall. You will not be contained by hatred. You will not be contained by any wall. His branches run over the wall. Joseph is like a mango tree in one house, whose fruits, part of it is in the house it is planted in, and the other branch has gone over the wall to the neighbor's house. So his planter says, "You are for me alone." But the mango says, "I think my purpose is beyond your house. I think I can feed the other house too." Somebody is like that mango tree. Somebody has tried to wall you in and says, "This is how far you can go. This is your limit. This is your boundary." But you were not made for that boundary. You were made for something greater. And you are going to get there. I said you are going to get there. I don't know what walls you have to deal with and what arrows you have to deal with. You are going to get there. Now, what were the walls that Joseph had to deal with in his life? The first wall he dealt with in his life is that he began life from the behind. How do you survive in a hierarchical society like Joseph's society? Joseph's society is hierarchical. It is based on who comes first, who comes second, who comes third, who third. It's a long hierarchy. How do you survive when you are the 11th, number 11? How do you make it? There are 10 boys ahead of you. How do you survive in such a situation when you were born from the behind and your society believes that if you are from behind, you have to wait for your 10? So for Joseph, there are 10 boys ahead of him, and if he's ever going to get great, then the first one has to be great. The second one has to be great. Everybody has to have their chance. And then finally, number 11, it comes to him. And if you're going to wait for everybody to have their 10, you never have your 10. So the first barrier he has to deal with is that he's starting from way behind. Way behind. And sometimes in life, life will deposit you way behind. Way behind. You start life and you there are people way ahead of you. Your father didn't help you much. Your mother didn't help you. Your grandfather too added to the problem. So now you are born way behind. Behind in poverty, in disorder, in dysfunction. Your family is not together. Your father is not responsible. Your mother has left you, and you're living with some auntie, and the auntie too is poor, and she already has 5 children, and you are number 6 from her sister. And you're supposed to survive in life. That's a wall. And for some of us, we look at life and the wall we inherit and we say to ourselves, "I don't think it can work." May I suggest to you, you are a fruitful vine and your branches will run over the wall. That's the first thing he had to deal with. The family system. He was starting life from behind. Secondly, he was dumped into a pit. A pit represents your lowest point. How do you survive a pit? Apart from being behind, he's now below. Now, if you are behind, it's good, but behind and below complicates your problems. Third problem he had, third wall. He was thrown into a strange land. He's now beyond. He's behind, below, beyond. And in a strange land, he had to deal with cultural barriers. He had to deal with language barriers, age barriers, racial discrimination, inferiority complex. These are barriers he has to deal with. I don't know how a teenage boy, we are not too sure how Joseph, how old he was, but it's presumed that he was about 13, 14, about this time. He's a young boy. thrown into a strange land. You have to learn a new language. Your parents are not there. Your father is not there. You have to learn a new culture. People mistreat you because you go in as a slave. You don't go in as an equal citizen. You are introduced to that society as a slave. And you have to now start dealing with people who see you only as a slave and treat you like a slave. You know, there are certain situations that you come out of or you come into with life. And without you making any effort, people already belittle you. They do. It's like when you are an African and you go to a European country or a Western country or even now China and other places. You start speaking. They just listen to your accent and they categorize you behind, below, beyond. That's where Joseph was coming from. Joseph was like that boy. He's a foreigner. He's looked down on. He's a slave. He doesn't know the language. He has to learn the language. He has no friends. He has no relatives. And he has to deal with life. It's a wall. It's a barrier. And the fourth wall he had to deal with was that he was a prisoner. He was forgotten in prison. When you are in prison, you are discarded. You are thrown away. Where society wants to forget you, they want to forget you ever existed. So here is a young man. By this time, he is probably in his 20s. He came to this country in his early mid-teens. He's worked all kinds of jobs trying to survive. Finally, he gets a good job for his master called Potiphar. And he now gets promotion because he's doing so well. He's in his 20s. He finally thinks, I have settled. Life is good for me. Things are going to work well. And then he gets into trouble and his master's boss blackmails him. How do you get a defense against Potiphar's wife? Now he's in prison. It's supposed to be the end of the story. Finally, the arrows have worked. They've killed him. And finally, the walls have stopped him. But for some reason, none of these stopped this young man. None of it. For some reason, he survived. For some reason, he overcame. For some reason, his story did not end in the prison. And I'm here to encourage somebody. I don't know what walls you have dealt with. Maybe for you, 2016 is so far not turning out right. Maybe 2015 was the worst and 2016 has surpassed it. And you look at your life and it looks like you are moving from pit to prison. I mean, it's just diminishing returns. Nothing works. When we say it's going to be a year of influence, you don't even believe it. Because your life is full of arrows, of walls, of difficulty. But this boy was not broken. For some reason, he still stayed in the game. And I believe you will stay in the game. I believe you will stay in the game.
Thank you for listening to Living Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otterbeil, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter at Mensah Otterbeil. Email otterbeil@centralgospel.com or call +233 302 688-000.